The Toxophilite Chronicles. Catching Toxophilitis. By David McCaffrey. It is a great honor to be asked to contribute to this publication. I wish it every success. But as an amateur and inexperienced writer, the big question is what to write about. After nearly 40 years of archery, I suppose I've seen some changes and it has been a vital part of my life. So, hopefully, you'll forgive a ramble down memory lane. I was an awkward, tall and geeky kid who wouldn't know the business end of a hurley from the leg of the kitchen table. I was more inclined to build a Lego castle or Airfix model aeroplane than join the local GAA club and get stuck in with the lads. At the time I felt alone in this viewpoint, and it was only in my first year of secondary school that I discovered my sport. Archery. And the dreadful disease that infects you when first you loose an arrow and watch as it sails downrange landing in the gold. You will know this disease well, I fear, and there is no known cure. Toxophilitis. It was a school trip in 1984 to Killary Harbour Adventure Centre in Mayo, the only fjord in Ireland and a breathtaking place to adventure in. I was 12 years old and only just settling into my first year of secondary school. A nervous and exciting time. Over the weekend we did all sorts of the sports: sailing, kayaking, hiking, rock climbing and abseiling. I discovered more sports existed in this world than GAA or soccer, some exciting and fun while others downright terrifying. I speak of abseiling specifically there as I'll never forget the terror of backing off the ledge trusting in a rope and a prayer. Finally, because my group was slightly more well-behaved than the other groups, we were permitted to shoot on the archery range. Much to the dismay of the cooler kids who had run amok in the night and woke the teachers, resulting in total archery deprivation, a truly horrible situation to find oneself in as recent COVID times will no doubt affirm. So, I got to shoot with a bow and arrow for the first time, and here I am, a middle-aged baldy bugger still loving the sport and just as frustrated with inconsistency, and I was back then. My father, on the advice of the Killary instructor, sought out the then Limerick archers. They were based at Limerick Racecourse and trained in a cold horse shed. It was freezing cold, damp, and miserable. Back then the club really struggled to find accommodation. We were moving constantly as most places didn't like the idea of arrows damaging walls or worse. The club should have been called the Traveling Toxophilites. So, the folks in Limerick Archers took me under their wing and taught me to shoot a recurve bow. FITA was the competition of choice, and I had certainly never heard of the idea that you could romp around a forest shooting at 3D replicas of wild animals and dinosaurs. I think my 12-year-old self would have had a meltdown with excitement if I was allowed to do that, as my fascination with being Robin Hood was already in overdrive. The great Jim Conroy had an archery supplies business in his house, and my father took me on a day trip to the Big Smoke to buy my first bow. Jim was a gentleman, and I was a child on Christmas morning. I can remember the day's events vividly. Memories like that are full of sights and smells, and the excitement was palpable. Would you believe I still have a set of new in-box aluminium arrows bought from Jim back then? Which I got to give to my daughters when they were only 10 and 7 years old, and they promptly had great fun and lost half of them. So worth it. Bit by bit the club instructors added more and more complexity to my equipment and my form developed reasonably quickly. I remember being told it was time I learned to shoot with a poker, commonly referred to as a long rod now. I think it may have gotten the name from all the poking each other on the shooting line as a means of strategic distraction and throwing the opponent off their form. Interestingly, Earl Hoyt Jr. had patented the first carbon stabilizer system in the 1970s, but at the local club level in 1980 Ireland, carbon was all but non-existent. The aluminium stabilizer systems were heavy and crude by even the cheapest modern standards of entry-level gear available now. Did you know that in the 1960 FITA rules on stabilizers were that the total length of the stabilizers combined on your bow could not exceed the length of your arrow? By the time I was 15, I had graduated to a proper bow. Now carbon was some sort of space-age science fiction mumbo-jumbo to us at the time, and my shiny new bow was a magnesium alloy riser called a Phoenix 2000. What a space-age name! It should have been made by Acme, and I think Wile E. Coyote may have used one to get the Roadrunner. I was blown away by it. I thought I was an archery god. It was a solid lump of arrow-flinging weaponry and weighted a ton. Mine was silver fading to black. I think it might have been like a Model T Ford. You can have any color so long as it was silver and black. ILF Systems, again patented by Hoyt in the 1980s, was not on the scene in Ireland when I was coming to terms with the mighty Phoenix 2000. Limb alignment was not possible on this riser, and to be honest, many of us, especially I, simply didn't fully understand bow tuning at club level. The knowledge was not too common, bar the few high-level archers, of course. Coaching and technical knowledge have improved greatly in my observation over the years, as can be seen by the new generations of archers shooting great scores in very well set up equipment. I am passionate and can be opinionated when it comes to the subject of coaching, especially when I see a new archer on the brink of quitting due to frustration. I celebrate the improvement on this point at the club level. I am sure many of you have strong opinions as well on this, and you should feel free to share them with your archery community via this publication. So, my struggle with toxophilitis was a losing battle. I was traveling the country to all the shoots and qualified at the required feet of distances. The dress code of full whites was strictly observed. And I literally lived to attend shoots. I remember finally breaking the 1,100 mark outdoors. To me, that was the equivalent of scoring a goal in the World Cup. Mind you, that was a very long way from the 1,440 maximum score. But I was delighted. It was an odd mix of excitement and stress, as attending the big outdoor events was a real highlight, and to see the field laid out with a line of targets, flags, and markers, etc., and every archer decked out in whites with bows and equipment as far as the eye could see. The sense of occasion was almost regal. I had dreams of becoming an Olympic archer. I mean, what kid wouldn't? Our club at the time was very fortunate to have had a member represent the country at the Los Angeles Olympics in 1984. Mary Vaughn was a crack shot, and I remember as a child watching her shoot in the club and couldn't believe my eyes. Arrow after arrow would hit gold on the seemingly tiny 40 centimeters indoor face. She was an inspiration for my young self. I could never imagine being capable of getting 6 arrows into the tiny gold circle. Mary would regularly demonstrate that ability, and I was very lucky to have had the benefit of her advice. One of my favorite things to watch was the hotshot shoot off at the indoor FITA events. Once the 60 arrows had been shot and tallied, the hot shot would begin. Everyone shot in the first round as it was white or better and one arrow knockout. By the time the judges were calling red or better, the field would have dwindled down to a handful very fast. It was great fun. I rarely made it to red or better as a young archer. I just couldn't hold it together under pressure. As we all know, archery is a mental game where our biggest competitor is our own subconscious mind. Back then I developed target panic and have spent years researching this and trying to come to terms with it. A subject I think would be worthy of discussion in future publications. So finally, Limerick Archers found a permanent home in 1991. University of Limerick Archery Club was formed with students, staff and the Limerick Archers members, and is still thriving today. The club is open to the public and students alike and is an Archery Ireland affiliated club. I was a new student in 1991 and became a committee member for the 4 years of my studies there, and had the honor of being captain of the first intervarsity team, and we managed the first gold medal for UL in this wonderful sport. So, I suppose the moral of my meandering down memory lane is simply this. Archery, while not as popular as soccer or rugby, is a unique, wonderful, and challenging sport full of great people, and for those of us who are somewhat introverted, it can be a lifeline. All kids should get the chance to shoot a bow at least once. I'll leave you with this thought: no shot is too difficult, it's just easier to miss.